There is a place, in a basement underground in Douglastown, where music is magic, and folk of all sorts gather to celebrate well-rounded sound. Vinyl endures on the tiny aisle, and the dedicated bunch at Sound Records are encouraging enthusiasts and inquisitives to join the revolution. This is Vinyl Virtues, Part 2, which, considering the time of year here on the Tiny Isle, surely has to begin with the singing, whizzing sounds of mechanical motors.
That's the sound that every TT rider dreads, the Douglas Foghorn.
We are back in Sound Records, and I am delighted to be joined once again by proprietor Jack, who's drinking his very own brand of beer called Lucky Jack, which is quite marvellous. Tell us about that record we're listening to, Jack.
Hello. This one is a TT Highlight record. I actually found these from someone's old collection. But yeah, it's a lot of commentary. This one's Volume 1, 1957 to 1964 TT Highlights. Pretty incredible. It's got like recordings of the bikes and stuff. It's pretty cool, eh?
I'd imagine you're now going to be quite busy at this time of year with all of these visitors over who might want to get their hands on this.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got plenty of them, so yeah, get yourselves down.
So we're now joined by a number of new collectors for this particular programme. Aaron Clegg, who we've spoken to previously in a number of different guises. For those who don't know, just tell us a little bit about yourself, Aaron.
Yeah, so I'm heavily involved in electronic music and have been for a number of years. When I was a teenager, I used to work in a record shop in T.H. Colburn's, for those who remember it. Predominantly, the reason why I did that was not only could I get paid and spend all my money on records, but I could get money off the records that I was spending all my money on, so I could get even more of them. So that just all worked out brilliantly for me. And just avid sort of collector and general music person.
And you've also released records as well. Tell us about that.
Sure. So in conjunction with all of that, when I was still at school, we used to work for the BBC in London, writing theme tunes for radio and TV programmes. Once we got started doing that, we kind of just didn't ever stop doing it.
So you mentioned that you did work in record stores in the day. What do you think now about the fact that vinyl seems to be having this huge resurgence? Because obviously you'll have seen it sort of drop and then come back up again.
Sure. I mean, it's fantastic now. In a way, it's kind of much, much cooler now because it's very much like on trend. So back in the days when there were only records, you'd be having to like deal with stuff like, you know, terrible, terrible records that would be in the charts. And then the DJs would come in who did like the local weddings and things, and they'd be desperate to get a copy of the Birdie song or some other disco classic that was released that week. Whereas now all of those kind of novelty records have like gone by the wayside, apart from the really good ones like Fishheads and so on.
It's one of those things, isn't it, that I find fascinating, in that there's so many different formats have come and gone in a really short space of time. Be it, you know, CDs seem to be sort of on a bit of a die out. There were mini discs. Like when digital first started, they were talking about releasing things in FLAC, super high format and everything. And yet of all of those, it's the vinyl that seems to have kept people's imagination in some way or other. Why do you think that might be?
I think it's because, unlike any other format, every record player sounds different, and you can choose your own stylus, cartridge, tone amp, preamplifiers, power amplifiers, and speakers, and you can get something that basically sounds exactly how you would want a stereo to sound like. If you wanted, like, you know, very warm and fuzzy, or very kind of accurate and high pitched, you can assemble it so that all of your records sound great to you on it. Whereas if you go and buy a CD player or an MP3 player, it's just stuck at its flat default manufactured bass, and so it's just a lot more personal. Everything sounds better because you've picked all of those components yourself, then you sit and fiddle with them, so it does sound good.
And someone else who was here on Record Store Day, who we did have a chat with, is Alex Honor, who is from the band Lime Rain. We're also joined by Harry Rowe from the band as well. Alex, I had a chat with you on the day about your purchases. Just remind people what it was.
It was Django Reinhardt, Echoes of France, which is a bit of a random one, to be fair. Probably a bit surprising, but as I mentioned to you, it was a recommendation from my granddad, and he always said about, there's a song called Minus Wing, which is the one that I knew that was on that collection there. He'd always play it on the piano, some sort of like trying to translate that from what it was on guitar. And yeah, it is nice to buy a record like that out of recommendation as opposed to maybe what it looks like or just what you've already heard before.
Mm-hmm. And I take it you have listened to it now.
I have done now. Again, like Minor Swing is the one that I remember still, like mostly off of it, but it's been nice to sort of discover those other tracks on it so far.
Incredible Django Reinhardt. So like what, three fingers or something, was he? Yeah, he lost his fingers very early on, but that didn't put him off. Yeah, House Fire, yeah.
Wow.
Amazing sounds, incredible. Don't let a house fire stop you from playing guitar, is what he said.
I love that. And there's something as well about those older recordings that are on vinyl that you somehow get more of a sort of atmosphere with them, don't you? You sort of feel like you are listening to that era, that decade. It's like stepping back in time, really, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And like with collaborating that with, there's a song on there he does with Stefan Grappelli as well. And violin, like he's a violinist, it always sounds nostalgic and sort of very atmospheric. So that, it's just amazing to listen to it. Like it's just like time travelling.
Yeah. I tell you what, why don't we let you be the first person to put a record on today then? Bring it on up here. Can we get the sound, Jack?
Yep.
So wonderful. Do you know, it's going to be hard to beat that one today, I've got to say. That was Alex from Lime Rain's first choice, and it was Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli there. And Aaron, as someone who is a musician yourself and also has produced and released music as well, when you listen to something like that, I don't know about you, but the thing I find extraordinary about it is when you think of what they were dealing with, to be able to capture that sound, to balance it the way that they did with all the instruments, you can hear as well almost every single movement on those instruments, can't you?
Absolutely. I mean, these old jazz recordings are absolutely fantastic because they didn't balance them at all. They just moved the microphones in the room and closer and further away to the instruments to do in the balancing. So it's all just like, you know, a direct recording onto a primitive piece of tape. So the important things you're hearing are the actual sound of the physical room that something's in. And it's not like records are made now where everything's recorded dry and it's artificially put in artificial rooms. It really does give you that vibe. You can hear the people moving around. Mm-hmm. And if you look at a video of them recording these old records, as people come to their solos, they actually walk forward half a metre and then play their solo and then step back from the microphone because that's the only way they could make them.
Gosh, that is fascinating. And are you surprised as well that someone of that age is interested in this kind of music? It's interesting in itself, isn't it?
It is, and I mean, I'm not sure it's totally related to vinyl, but having so much more music available, if you want to search it out, is absolutely fantastic. I mean, just having the internet to go and find things like this, I mean, I have heard that before, but only because Michael Dreyfuss, who owns the record label, also is the producer on all the Jean-Michel Jarre albums.
Oh, okay.
So back in the day, when things were listed out by record label, there was always this, and then there was the Jean-Michel Jarre records that I was looking for.
If you've just tuned in or flip-sided to us here on Manx Radio, you're listening to Vinyl Virtues Part 2, where store proprietor Jack Doyle, myself, Christy DeHaven, and a number of fabulous guests are huddled around a record player in Sound Records, waxing lyrical about LPs and more.
Speaking of Lime Rain, speaking of young collectors, when I mentioned to Alex about coming on the show, she immediately directed me to a fellow Lime Rain member, Harry. And I remember when you guys were with us on Sunday Soundtrack, I was, again, quite surprised about the amount of older music that you all are into. How long have you been collecting vinyl for, Harry?
Like, I don't know, maybe I started the Christmas before last, I think, because I was in, where was it, Onken with my girlfriend. And we walked past Jack's shop when it was up in Onken, and I remember being like, oh, that's so cool. And I went in and I bought, I think it was Nirvana MTV Unplugged. And I just like fell in love with like vinyl then. And I got my dad's old record player down from the attic and just started buying as many records as I could, I guess.
I can't get over
them since. He's in a lot, I think, isn't he? So did your dad then start sort of connecting with you about the music?
Yeah, for sure. Because when I grew up, I kind of just listened to, like, you know, whatever was on the radio, and I wasn't massively into music. And then I started playing electric guitar, and I got into, like, rock music and, like, pop music from the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. And obviously you can find like records of that quite cheap, so that's all I really buy. And I've inherited all my dad's old records, which he didn't take very good care of, so they're all scratched up. Don't listen to them very much, but yeah.
I love that immediately you're a total pro about all of this. So you do obviously take care of your records. How do you look after them? Where do you keep them? And do you have a bit of a ritual when you take them out? Do you make sure that you sort of clean them or?
I don't know. I'm not too like fussy about them. I just try not to leave them out of the little sleeves. And I try and get plastic sleeves to put them in as well, instead of the paper sleeves, which scratch them up a bit. And I bought like a little brush, a static brush to wipe them with. But I just put them in a box. I don't really have any rituals or anything like that, I don't think.
Are they filed in any particular order? I know some people are particular about alphabetizing.
I'm really not, no. I'm not very particular at all. It's whatever I listen to first. I put it at the front and then... So I find some records at the back and I'm like, oh, I didn't know I had that anymore. But I'd lost it.
Yeah. When you leave it unorganized, you go to put one thing on and you end up putting something else on because you're just like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, a bit like a pick and mix. So is there some records in particular? Are there some in particular that you keep returning to? Or what do you listen to more than anything else?
I'd say at the moment, probably The Doors. I bought LA Woman a few weeks ago. My godfather bought me the first Doors record months and months ago, and I just like listen to them over and over now.
Do you think that will inform your own music in any way, shape or form?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. I wrote a song with Josh ages ago, and it's really, really sounds like The Doors, I think. It's quite bluesy and stuff like that. I really like that kind of stuff now.
So what have you brought with you in your carrier bag here then, Harry?
I just didn't know how many to bring, because you said to bring a couple, and then Alex was like, yeah, I'm bringing one or two. So I was like, oh, I don't know what to bring.
Well, talk us through them all, and then we'll pick one to put on.
First one's Krangbin, Contra del Mundo, which
is... What now?
Krangbin, it's an album called Contra del Mundo. They're a band out of Texas. They're a three-piece band. And it's kind of like, I don't know... funk that's like inspired by like Eastern Asian stuff like that. I don't know, it's all instrumental and it's got like, it's really cool. It's, I don't know how to describe
how
it.
How did you find them?
Jack, I came down, he was playing them, and then Alex was like, yeah, I think they're pretty cool. So
I suppose that's one of the things that you do as a record store owner, isn't it? Is you get to know your regular clients and what they like, and then do you often find yourself recommending things?
Yeah, it's part of the joy of the shop, yeah. A lot of the time I see who's in the shop, and if it's people that I've been in before, I'll stick a record on that I think they'll like, and quite a lot of the time they're like, yeah, I'll take that as well, please.
Oh, he's a savvy businessman, isn't he? And let's see, talk us through your others.
Yeah, Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd. It's just an incredible album. Love it so much. It's got the,
is that one you keep returning to?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I wrote an essay for school on Pink Floyd and it kind of put me off them for maybe a month, but I got back into them after a bit of a stint away from them. It's just such an incredible album.
And again, super iconic imagery, because as soon as you see that, you know exactly what that album is. Is that part of the process for you, is the imagery and the artwork?
Yeah, absolutely. I just love, because when you play music on your phone, you can't really see what you're looking at, but when you have it like in your hand, it's something physical that you can get in touch with. It's like... I don't know, a bit more ritualistic, like when you're putting it on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good choices. He's delving in for another one here.
Last one.
Give him a hand. Ooh, interesting.
I was a bit hesitant about bringing this one, but it's my favourite record at the moment. Polygon Dwanaland, and it's by a band called King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of them? Yeah. they're based in Australia. And the interesting thing about this album was that they released it for free online, and they put the vinyl masters, they put everything online for free, and they put this one bit of artwork, and they said to make your own pressings and make your own record label and release them. So people have released with their own like custom artwork and stuff like that.
So cool.
It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Well, if I was going to make you pick your first tune from one of these three, what might it be? I know it's mean.
I think it'd have to be Wish You Were Here.
Well, come on up and let's get it on the decks. Oh, the absolutely brilliant Pink Floyd Wish You Were Here. And just listening to that, oh gosh, just again, one of those sort of seminal pieces of music. And Aaron Clegg, it's one of those things that makes me think as well about how important albums are when they are created as one whole, which I think it's fair to say that album certainly is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It absolutely helps. Pink Floyd were absolutely masters of it. They would go on to do things like The Wall, which is such a masterpiece of, like, you know, sustaining a thought over a long period of time. It was a truly unique thing.
And Aaron, we haven't yet had your first music choice. You were talking about your record store days yourself when you worked in a record store. You actually had quite a responsibility, didn't you, which leads us to your first choice.
Yeah, so on a Saturday morning, I was 15 years old. The post would come on a Saturday morning and I have to unbox all of the records. And what used to happen back in the day is to try and get things into the charts, the distributors who dispatched the records would put effectively like free records in on the off chance that you would sell them, and then they would get those records in the charts and the rest of it. So I'd have to go through all these records every week, and you know, not everything becomes a hit single. In fact, very few records do. So I would like put them on the record player and, you know, try and make my best guess at what was going to be successful and what wasn't. And I remember one particular week there was a record released by someone we never heard of, Rick Astley. And I put it on the record deck. Took an instant dislike to it. Goes, this bass line, this bass line is just like a direct copy of a great single, Trapped, by Colonel Abrahams, that had been out 6 months earlier. He's obviously singing an octave too low. These lyrics are really cheesy. You know, I don't think anyone's going to go for this one. So marked it down to 10 pence and put it in the bargain bin. And another new record for me at the time, I'd never heard anything by Kraftwerk before, and they just put out their new single, Musique Nonstop. And all it was just a hammering bass drum, a few tiny notes, bits of speech synthesis, which no one had heard before at the time. And it was just an epic kind of statement of minimalism. And it was hip hop and it was dance music all rolled into one thing. I thought, this is the best record I've ever heard. Record of the week for that one. So having done my work for the week, I came in the next week. Rick Astley was at number one. Kraftwerk had failed to chart. And they were going, did those Rick Astley records we ordered arrive this week? And then he goes, no, they were sold out at the distributor. And I go, oh, actually, I know where there were some. So I had to root down into the bottom of the bargain bin, pull them out and reprice them and put them back in the number one slot. So, you know, that's how great I am at A&R and talent spotting.
There's something so desperately tragic about that entire story. There really is. But what it does do, it does give us an opportunity, though, to hear some Kraftwerk, and that's no bad thing, Aaron. And I'm assuming that in some way, would you say that this potentially influenced your own music in some way, Kraftwerk?
To be honest, I wouldn't, because I'd already been doing it for 5 years before I'd heard this record. It would have done if I'd heard it when I was young. I would have gone, oh, that's how you're supposed to do it. But I just ham-fistedly went my own way.
Well, let's hear it then. You've got it with you. Let's come up to the desk and put it on.
So this is going to be a bit more crackly than everyone else's, because this is actually 35 years old.
And have you looked after it, though? That's a question. I think I can see a giant scratch across there.
I think the answer to that is a resounding no. I've got CDs of it as well. But
well, let's see how it sounds. Oh, just perfect. Kraftwerk there, as chosen by Aaron Clegg. So we're getting a huge mix of material on this episode of Vinyl Virtues.
And there we leave our vinyl files for today. We will rejoin Aaron Clegg, Lime Rain's Alex and Harry, Jack Doyle, and another special guest, same time next week, for more lyrical waxing, choice rumours, Welsh poems, and a reimagined classic that brings me to tears. Tune in Tuesday at 5:30 for Vinyl Virtues Part 2, the B-side, here on Manx Radio.